Hare Krishna. So we begin today's class. Madhava Prabhu is not here today. He said went to set up that Renton Hall for tomorrow's program. No, actually Discover Yourself class is the next one.
Sorry about that. Okay.
No problem.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we covered like few sessions into introduction. What is your name, Prabhu?
Anand.
Anand. Okay. So you got an invite from Madhava, or?
Yes.
Okay. So can we review how many of you attended last class?
Last one.
Last one, long weekend we didn't have.
No. Previous one.
Before that.
Previous one.
Okay.
Yeah,
you did, Prabhu. Okay. So let's briefly go through them. What did we talk about?
In the beginning, we talked about two processes of getting knowledge, ascending and descending.
Right.
The ascending process, we make assumption in the beginning and then proceed further. But in the descending process, it works on the cyclic succession. Other thing we talked about was people are distracted in this world because they don't know the goal actually of the life, where to go, what to do, and animals, they act based on impulsive nature, but human, they have intelligence and they have to control the impulsiveness. And then we talked about they have to control mind, anger, tongue, stomach, urge to speak, and genitals. So in the time of death, if we have unfulfilled desires, then we come back, take rebirth.
What did we discuss about Sanatan Dharma?
Dharma of water is liquidity, or for sugar it's sweetness. Like that, dharma is occupation.
What is the dharma of spirit soul? Dharma of spirit soul is to always serve.
Serve.
And Sanatana Dharma, eternal Dharma of the spirit soul, is to serve the Supreme Lord. We can serve so many people in this world, but it's not really Sanatana, because the service to whom we are rendering, they are also not, they are in a sense their soul, so they are eternal, but still because we are serving them in the context of this material world, like, okay, I serve my father, I serve my president, right? So that service is not eternal. But whereas if you serve the Supreme Lord, then it's eternal. That's why it's Sanatana Dharma. So eternal.
Sanatana means
eternal. Yes, eternal religion. So we discussed like difference between religion and Sanatana Dharma. So religion is based on faith. So let's say one day I'm Muslim, based on body also. Based on which family I am born, I have taken a particular religion. Right, from childhood I am practicing Hinduism, or from Muslim or something, right? It's based on birth. But people change religion. Somebody after 10 years, they figure, okay, I want to become Christian. After that they say, I want to become Hindu. Like that, right? So religion changes because it's associated with body. But whereas Sanatana Dharma, it is associated with the soul, it goes on forever. So that, what is that? Even if one were a Muslim, one were a Christian, one were somebody else, what is that eternal nature of the soul? That is the nature to serve. So all these religions are meant to take us towards that same one single destination. The love for the Supreme Lord.
But Mataji, if you have different religions, then who you consider the Supreme Lord also changes, right? Doesn't that make a difference?
Prabhu went to Renton, Prabhu, to set up. Yeah, that's true. But the thing is, based on what we consider a Supreme Lord, doesn't change the truth. Right? So it doesn't mean, okay, I believe certain such, I believe Mr. President is a Supreme, doesn't make him to be Supreme. That's one aspect. But then because we are approaching them with so much awe and reverence, we, according to Bhagavad Gita, we will attain them. Like for example, if you worship demigods like Shiva or maybe anybody like that, or even like people in this world, if you worship them, the next life we cultivate whole life the attachment towards them, so next life we have to be with them. So all these religions are given based on time, place and circumstances. The truth about the Lord is revealed in that particular religion based on the situation. Like for especially Christianity, right? And by that time, people were so much ignorant. They cannot understand so many details of spiritual world. So that's why Jesus said, I'm Son of God. All we have to do is worship the Father. That's so much detail he gave. He didn't give details. And so like that. But by the time Krishna came, Lord Chaitanya, Arjuna, Krishna came, right? So Arjuna was well qualified to hear all the knowledge. So that's why full knowledge was revealed to him. So, and also all these things are it's a path of evolution, so to speak. Like in the sense that many people, we have seen some people who come to Krishna consciousness, they are sincere Shiva worshippers, beginning, very, very ardent and so much. But then because of that sincerity, if they pray to Lord Shiva, with sincerity, who is Supreme Lord, please show me. Then they gradually come to Krishna. But at the same time, they will not be disrespectful to Shiva. Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. So greatest Vaishnava always helps in serving the Lord. So like that. So if we are open-minded, then we will be able to receive the true knowledge. And we will not be feeling like sentimentalist, like, oh, now I cannot do my procedures, what I do. I have to change, like, so many things, right? So we don't feel like that. And we feel actually now I'm one step closer to the goal. As a Muslim, as a Christian, I want to love God. But I'm not getting enough details. Now I found something else by which I can get more details. And I'm more satisfied with the many in our movement also. Many sannyasis, they were Christians in US. And then when they were growing up, they were asking their parents, like, okay, what is God's kingdom look like? How does the God look like? What does he do? Then they said, no, we don't know all these answers. Don't ask this. So then gradually they had that that inquiry. So they only went on their journey. There, some people went to East, like India and all. And gradually they encountered Krishna consciousness movement, which had the complete details of the spiritual world, who is God, how to attain that love for God. Then they were satisfied and started practicing. And they dedicate their whole life. So many of us sannyasis are Americans. And initially, first time actually, when I heard, when I came and I heard Harivilas Prabhu's class. Harivilas Prabhu is, he's Armenian, right? Yeah. So, and it looked American. So I was thinking, I'm supposed to be knowing all this much more than anybody else, like so-called Indian and who would have practiced all these things. But like I'm hearing from somebody who is not even born in India, how is it possible? But that's the training. They whoever gets the training, whoever has the realization, has the say to speak. And anybody, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, not Brahmana, not a Vipra, not these, any person who knows the Krishna Tattva, he can become a guru. Whatever may be, I may be a female or human or a male or a sannyasi or a grihastha or a child. If I know the Krishna consciousness, I can speak to my realization. Of course, I cannot speak more beyond my realization. So that's the difference between religion and Sanatana Dharma we discussed. And then, yeah, that's what is the point. Basically, for living entity, the Swarupa or the Sanatana Dharma, which always exists with the living entity, is to render service to the Supreme Lord. That's when it's completely satisfying. Otherwise, everybody is serving. Right? If people say, we serve our boss, we serve our family members, we serve our country, If nobody, they keep, Prabhupada said, they keep a dog and they serve the dog. So everybody is serving. But just then, now we need to know whom should to serve, so we will be completely satisfied. And then, next point we discussed, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, of course, we may serve so many people, then what about serving devatas? What is the benefit, or what is his opinion about it? So then Krishna says that if you worship only people who are less intelligent, because they want immediate desires to be fulfilled, they approach the demigods. Like Surya or Indra, Chandra, like that. These people, they are ready to bestow benedictions which are only within the material realm. So people who want them, which are less intelligent, they go there. So that, but then devotees who are most intelligent, they want to come to his abode. So they don't go to worship demigods. Then we talked about reason for Lord's appearance. So why does Lord appear? Anybody knows from Bhagavad Gita? There are three reasons.
Yeah.
Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami. Okay. So deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to re-establish the principles of religion. These are the three reasons for which the Lord appears. Among them, it is said that to annihilate the miscreants means to destroy the evil-minded people, or to re-establish the religious principles. He could have done it in any way. Like for example, to destroy people, some earthquake could do it. Any other minor thing could do it. He need not personally come to do that job. And similarly, to re-establish religious principles, any of his servants or somebody could come and do it. But the main reason why Krishna comes is to deliver the pious, which is to essentially associate with his devotees. So devotees are hankering to have association with the Lord, to see how Lord's pastimes are. So to just give them that special mercy, he personally comes. So because that's the way, it's like an advertisement. Like wherever we go, right, we see an advertisement to Hawaii. See Hawaii, it's like this, a beautiful sun, Hawaii, the tree and this beach. Then immediately you feel like, oh, I want to go there. So it's like that Lord has eternal pastimes going on in the spiritual world. He comes for a brief period of time, once in every day of Brahma in every universe, and he performs his pastimes. So we have some subject matter to talk about. Even till now, we still talk about it. Right? That's the one which keeps us again and again re-establish the
desire to go back.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So when we hear about loving pastimes between Krishna and his devotees, cowherd boys, how they play, how they loving exchanges, we feel like, oh, I want to also experience that. Actually, to a small extent, we experience that in this world, in our relationship with devotees actually. Normally, before we come in association of devotees, okay, we deal with whatever love we know is from parents and sisters and everything. Yeah, and we feel satisfying and it's very good. It's much more selfless than maybe like a friend's at work or colleague. They just come for whatever they need and after that they go away. We feel family members, everyone, that's the best we could have. But when we come in touch with devotees, we'll slowly realize that their love is much more deeper. Because it touches the soul. Because they want to do things which benefits the soul. They try their best to, like for example, give association or give prasadam or give and talk encouraging words or hear from you all the problems, whatever. But what is the purpose? Purpose is to help the soul. So that love is much more deeper. So, and beyond that, devotees, okay, we are still practicing. So I may not be so selfless to give that experience to all, like maybe my friends. But if we see pure devotees, like spiritual masters, and if we have like a personal dealings with them, within like few minutes, you will feel actually so satisfied. Because they have so much love, because so love for Krishna, because of which they have love for all of us, that you would immediately experience that thing which you would not have experienced ever. Then you will feel, yes, this is what I'm looking for in this life, this love. Now I got it, so let me hang on to this. So actually recently, last long weekend, we went to Sadhu Sangha retreat organized by our spiritual master. So it was so enlivening, like 3 days, it's all, essentially we had morning Srimad Bhagavatam class, But otherwise, whole day it's kirtan. Kirtan, singing, dancing, and of course, prasadam is there. And taking rest. 3 days, it was so intense. At the end of that day, 3 days, our body was so sore actually. Because we had jet lag, 2 hours time gap. It was in Austin. So we had jet lag. So I practically didn't sleep properly 3 days, all 3 days. But then the soul was so, you know, I could see actually we are not really this body. Body is dragging, tired, everything. But soul is so satisfied, like I'm so satisfied. So, and then we had a personal interaction with the spiritual master. So that's all refreshing. So it gives us the strength to take on the whole year now until we meet again next year. So that's what whenever I have that exchange, I feel like this is what we are looking for. No, this exchange, this love we are looking, everybody is looking for that love. So that love, Krishna comes and demonstrates what it's like. And then the details of the Supreme Lord's abode, Goloka Vrindavan, is given in detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, there are brief details where Krishna says it's not that abode, that Supreme Lord, that spiritual world is not illuminated by sun or moon. Not by fire, nor by electricity. Then what is it illuminated by? It's illuminated by effulgence from the Lord. The Lord's effulgence itself is so bright and so illuminating that itself gives light to everything, the whole spiritual planets. So there is no actually night in the spiritual world. Here, because of the planet's movements, we are forced to experience night. But there is no night. But there will be night for the sake of pastimes of Krishna. So that he can go to sleep and things like that. So, and Krishna promises one who reaches this abode in 15.6. He says that one who reaches this Goloka Vrindavana, he never has to come back again to this material world.
Is this the same as Vaikuntha? Or?
Yeah. So Goloka Vrindavana is basically, see, there are lot of, all these bubbles, small bubbles are Vaikuntha planets. Okay. Among them, the central most one is the Goloka Vrindavana, where Krishna is there in his Shamsundar form. In all the Vaikuntha planets, we have Lord in the form of Narayana, 400 form. Mm-hmm. Like where devotees worship in awe and reverence. Usually Narayana, you can, mostly it's a mood of a servant. We have five rasas, right? Mm-hmm. A servant, yeah. Like neutral, friend, parent and conjugal rasa. Yeah. So among these, with Narayana or in Vaikuntha planets, we can only have Dasya rasa, servant. But only with Krishna, you can have all the five rasas. So that's why he is the avatari. It means the person from which all the avatars come. So that's why he is a central planet and all there are all Vaikuntha planets also. So based on our mood and this thing, we'll approach the appropriate destination.
So he is Narayana the avatari or Krishna the avatari?
Krishna. Yeah. There is a verse in Brahma Samhita. It said that 5.1 actually. It's not 5.1. Yeah, 5.1. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govindam Sarva Karana Karanam. So he is the cause of all causes. So all the Narayana forms, it's like, it's as potent or as supreme or as transcendental as the Lord, but still he is the source. So more details are given with Shastric references in Srimad Bhagavatam and many places. Briefly we will look at in the picture here, we'll have that idea. Yeah. So this is the one we promised. It not zoomed properly, I think. Yeah. We'll see next pictures which will elaborate the top and the bottom. So this is the whole realm, material and spiritual realm. So the bottom one, the green bubble, everything, it's a material realm. It's called the Karana Ocean. There, it's all Karana Ocean. In that ocean, I wish I can show the mouse here. Yeah, I can show the mouse, right? No. Oh, I have to go to the... Okay. So, in this Karana Ocean, there is Karano Dakshaya Vishnu. There are three Vishnus, basically. This is also 400... It went, okay. This is also 400 form of Vishnu. He just lies down on the ocean And when he exhales from his pores of the body, they start, the universes start emanating from his pores. There are innumerable universes like that. Imagine one exhale, from each pore one universe comes. There's so many universes like this all over here. See, it's all these are universes. But all these universes are floating in this Karana ocean. And now if you blow up one universe, just to see what's happening here, actually we'll have, here I'll just tell briefly overview of both of them.
The big chart is just outside here, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
same thing,
So, okay, in this one universe, what we will see is it has like almost like 7 or 8 coverings here. Each one is 10 times thicker than the other, like that. And beyond this, now we have this, here we first initially, when the universe gets created, Vishnu expands, Karana Dakshaya Vishnu expands as Garbho Dakshaya Vishnu, and he lies down in this universe. And from his navel and from his sweat, actually this is all this water, Garbhodaka water. And then from his navel comes the lotus flower, on which Brahma appears first, and everything is dark. No, nothing. Then Brahma wakes up and he says like, oh, what am I supposed to do here? Then he does tapasya. He does tapasya, then Krishna reveals, okay, your service is to now create this universe. Okay. So then he starts, then Krishna gives all the ingredients. So then he starts creating the essentially planetary systems. All these 14 planetary systems, earth planet is here, below the 7 and above are the 6 planets. And then all the, see for example Shiva, Ganesha, Durga, all they are all in this realm. So if we attain them, then the universe can, when it gets destroyed, we will also get destroyed. Destroyed means we have to take birth again. So now, beyond this material, there are so many material universes. This is just 1/4 of the creation. And the spiritual realm, which is here, is actually 3/4. So now, let's see this. This is the spiritual realm. Okay, now if we go a little bit more into this material realm, right? See, if same thing. Lower planets, middle planet, higher planets. And we have Durga Devi here. Who is this? Can't see properly. Okay. And then Shiva, right? These are different layers. And if you look at spiritual realm, so between material realm and the spiritual realm, this place is called Viraja River actually. That's right. This is the Viraja River, and then here Karana ocean of Viraja River, and then this is all Brahmajyoti. So in this all this Brahmajyoti. There is Sadashiva planet here. This is between spiritual world and material world. And here all the Vaikuntha, see there are so many Vaikuntha planets. In all of them there is 400 form of Lord. One is Varaha, Varaha is a boar, right, when he came here. But he doesn't stay as a boar in this Vaikuntha planet. He is a 400 form of the Lord. Narsimha, all these forms are here. Right, in all these Vaikuntha planets. And here there is Ayodhya Dham, right? That's what it's saying. Yeah, it's Ayodhya Dham, where Lord Ram and Sita. This is here. And then beyond that, all these Vaikuntha planets, this is basically spiritual, this is the Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna and Krishna and Radharani and Pasan. Oh, Ayodhya is here. Ayodhya is here.
Aishwarya looks like.
Yeah, it's Aishwarya Dham. Yeah, Aishwarya Dham. Lord in the form of Narayana. And here we have Ayodhya Dham, Lord Ram. If we approach Lord Ram, we'll come here. And then Goloka Dham, Srimati Radharani. So, from Srimati Radharani, her expansion is actually Durga Devi in the material world. And what else? Yeah, so the main point here is actually they say, there is a verse, it says, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. So this Harinam Sankirtan is coming from the Goloka Vrindavan. So if you see in this picture, this one, this is actually Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's coming from spiritual world down to the material world. So this is like a transcendental ladder, we can say. By holding on to this, we can actually attain perfection, go back to the spiritual world. So that these are the things which we thought last time we discussed that we will cover. So it's okay, little bit? Details, okay. And this is what we, these are the, like some more details of the planetary systems we covered last time. Like below the Earth, there are 7 lower planetary systems. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And also Pitruloka is here. And Earth, and there is in each universe the Sun and Moon. And there are 6 higher planetary systems. So based on how we do on the earthly planet, especially as a human being, we can attain pious credits and go to the higher planets. Or if we misuse this life and do all sinful activities, then we are destined to attain lower planets. So that's why as a human being, we are responsible to live the life in a way that we should prepare the life in a way that we can at least have a higher birth. At least not a lower birth where we don't have a choice to even practice Krishna consciousness. So in all, but all this realm, what's happening is common is birth, death, old age and disease is always there here. So how much ever, even if we go to Svargaloka, at one point we have to die. So the best is to aim for the eternal abode, which is beyond this birth and death. So okay, I forgot. So here, when Garbhodakshaya Vishnu exhales, all these universes get created. When he inhales, these universes get absorbed into him. So that's the lifetime of a universe, his life breath, his breath. One breath. So when the universe gets absorbed, then all the living entities, they reside in his body until the next time they will be qualified to get a body. So that's why it's like we don't know how, since time immemorial, we have been wandering in this earth, in this planetary systems. So this is one thing we discussed, where it's not, don't focus too much on the details, but main point is that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So Krishna describes that in 15th chapter as a banyan tree, as an inverted banyan tree. So what does a reflection say? Reflection says something about the real thing. See, in the desert, if we see mirage, then we know there is something like real water existing somewhere. So whatever we see in the material world gives an indication that there is real loving relationship. There is real service. There are some things which are eternal there in spiritual world. So that's how you can understand. Okay, now this is today's class. So that's good, because not many people have come and you also got a good overview. So we'll cover this. So after that section, now Krishna briefly talked about Krishna's abode. And now he is going to lead us into a discussion of how to attain that abode. Like, what do we need to do? What are the qualifications? Or what is the process to attain that abode? So that's what we'll cover in this session. So, eternal kingdom, spiritual world, is called Sanatana Dhamma. Sanatana Dhamma. Sanatana means?
Eternal.
So Dhamma is? Place. So that spiritual world is eternal place. So that's why it's called Sanatana Dhamma. And it's also described as avyakta or unmanifested. So why Prabhupada elaborates that in the purport? He says that even in this material world, we don't see all of the material creation through our eyes. Like many of the stars, many of the planets, they are not visible to our eyes. So they are there, but they are in an unmanifested state. Or rather, we cannot see them. So similarly, the spiritual world, it's there, but we cannot see right now. It's in the avyakta or unmanifested form. But we see by hearing through scriptures, what does it look like? And there is one verse Prabhupada quotes in the purport. He says, who can attain that abode is the one who is nirmana moha. So that is the qualifications. Nirmana moha. Nir means no. Mana means false pride. Moha means illusion. So one who doesn't have falsehood, nirmana, and one who doesn't have moha, which is illusion. Those are the people qualified to attain the spiritual world. So one who doesn't have false pride and one who doesn't have illusion, is not influenced by illusion. So let's talk briefly about these two. How false pride is related to illusion? Can anybody give examples of how one leads to the other? How, let's say, when we have false pride, we'll get illusion, versus when we are in illusion, we'll automatically develop false pride. Some, based on what we understand as false pride, what we understand as illusion. So illusion means to think which we are not, like to identify ourselves to be something else which we are not, right? And false pride means basically it's a pride, pride prestige we get because of certain things.
So illusion was what we started with, right?
This
body is not who the soul is.
Yes.
So that is illusion.
Yes. So through that illusion, how will we get false pride?
So then we think that there is nobody above us. We are the supreme ourselves.
Yes.
That is the wrong pride.
Yeah, that is pride. And we think, everybody thinks we are the doer. Right? We think we are the, we have the right to enjoy this world. Right? So we try to lord it over the material nature. So these are all false, and somebody wants to wants to become a leader, like a leader. It's all false. It's all designations we get. Once we get the body, with that body we get different designations. Like, okay, I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm a wife. These are all bodily designations. So with these designations, we get false pride. And if we have, the more we have false pride, the more we will be illusioned to think we are that. Like somebody is so haughty, somebody is so this thing, like, okay, I am the boss, right? He is all the more re-establishing or reinforcing himself that he is the boss. If somebody comes and tells, what are you doing? It's you are not the boss, like somebody does, then he will not be able to accept it, right? So the illusion reinforces his misconception. So that's how these both actually help each other to make the living entity conditioned. So that's why Krishna is saying here, one must be free from false pride and free from illusion. So that's what Prabhupada tells, that these designations, they come with the bodily concept of life. Like, I am a sir, I am a lord, I am a president, I am a king. So these designations will be there as long as there are bodily attachments. But if we identify ourselves with the spirit soul, then there will not be any designation. We think we are just servant of Krishna. Whatever circumstances, we think we are servant of Krishna. So that is the real designation. Rest of this, everything else, like, okay, I am advanced devotee, or I am Microsoft employee, or I am this, I am that. All these things are artificial designation, because some, they didn't start from the beginning, they are not going to be there forever, right? At some point we joined Microsoft, after 10 years we are going to leave and join something else. So then that means my identity got changed. So the designations are changing because of that attachments. So that's what the point is, as long as we have identified with this body and have these designations, we remain in this world. Because this is the world to enact those designations. Right? In spiritual world, we cannot say, I am president. Maybe if that's a service Krishna gives, it's possible, but not in a way to lord it over the material nature. So, the crux is to actually come to that spiritual platform where we don't have any attachments in this world. So that's the point Prabhupada is saying. As long as we are bewildered by the attractions of false material enjoyments, we do not get entry to the spiritual kingdom. So that's our homework. What's our homework? What do we have to do?
get rid of false pride.
False pride and also illusion and also our attractions for false material enjoyments. So very strongly, we will discuss about how practically to do it. It's very interesting. So this point is very crucial. As long as we have a hope to enjoy in this world, we cannot hope to go back to spiritual world. That's the point basically. That's why Krishna, actually there's a very nice verse, even Prabhupada himself quoted so many times. Because what happened, Srila Prabhupada, actually he's a grihastha. So he had a pharmaceutical business. And he was doing very good actually in his business. Everybody appreciated and he was exporting and very, very, very established. But suddenly, out of the blue, it started crashing everything. All the business he lost and many things. And he tried so much to again recover it, but it didn't work out. Then every time he failed, he remembered this verse from Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says that to one I show special mercy, I take everything away from him. Krishna says, for one whom I show special mercy, I take everything away from him. So he doesn't have any recourse but to surrender to me. So that is Krishna's special mercy. But when we are attached, we feel it's like, it's too much to take. But a pious or a pure devotee can take it in that spirit. So Prabhupada is setting that example. So he always, he thought about that verse as like, Krishna, what are you doing? And then like that many years it happened, and even family life it didn't work out, and like basically he took sannyas, and then even then actually we came to US. 1 year he tried to re-establish that movement. 1 year it was a hard struggle. We discussed that somebody tried to kill him and he didn't have a place to stay, and he had to stay in a place, people who eat meat and all those things. So many 1 year hard struggle, but he said, I have to try. And after 1 year, then Krishna started reciprocating. And he gave everything actually now. So actually, if we don't have that power to give up our attachments, if we are sincere, Krishna will do it at the right time. We don't need to be scared that it will happen all of a sudden. But if it's if we are sincere, that to Krishna, I want to come to you, and we follow, practice the process sincerely, then gradually, based on our surrender, Krishna will take away things. Of course, if we are going to be disturbed and we are not going to chant even that one round, then Krishna will not do that. Right? So, it's a very gradual process. But why is that? As long as we have desire to enjoy, why do we remain here?
Because then the cycle of karma doesn't break.
Yeah.
You keep enjoying the whole material world and you gather the...
Yeah. So, one second, I'll just stop this. We discussed this point about how do we get a new body, right? It's based on desires, okay. So if suppose in this life we didn't fulfill all our enjoyments and we have that small desire, let's say, I want to become a vice president of some big corporate company, and the whole like little bit 5-6 years I tried, I didn't work out, but then somehow at the moment of death suddenly I get that desire, then what? Then I have to come back to fulfill that desire, right? So that's how we are going on. So but then somehow if by causeless mercy we get in touch with devotees and we cultivate that desire to attain the spiritual world, and whole life if you practice it that way, then the moment of death we will think about Krishna. Then all our desires are finished. So what is the point? What is the need to take a material body? Material body is given for us to enjoy in this material world. Of course, some devotees, they come to the material world for the sake of service. That's a different category altogether. But otherwise, if we don't have any desire to enjoy in this world, there is no reason for us to stay here. That's why actually once we start taking Krishna consciousness, even if we have, let's say, we have karma, right? Some karma because of past misdeeds, we are supposed to experience so many things. Let's say accident, so many things. Actually, it's there in this life, I'm supposed to experience that. But once we take up Krishna consciousness or surrender to the Lord sincerely, what will happen is our Krishna will interfere with that karma. He will not let it come completely. He will let it as much as it's needed for us to make progress. Because the devotee is already realizing that the purpose of suffering in this world is to come to Krishna. Right? So if it's already devotee is sincerely trying to do that, then there is no need for him to go through that suffering. Got it? It's like whatever, as much as, of course, as devotees, sometimes we'll be so happy. Oh, okay, everything is going well, everything is going well. After 5 days, 6 days, we become complacent. Then that jerk will come. Something will happen, like, oh, okay, yeah, we are in the material world, we have to go back. So those things Krishna will give at that stage. But otherwise, there is no reason. So similarly, as long as we don't have any desire to enjoy, we don't have to remain here. So we can go back to that spiritual world to serve the Lord. Yeah, and the way, the practically, that's what Prabhupada is going to tell in the next verse. How to do that, right? So the spiritual body, we discuss it's Satchitananda Vigraha, right? What is Sat?
Eternal.
Chit is full of knowledge and Ananda is full of bliss. That is our real spiritual nature. But right now, what are we experiencing? We are experiencing Nirananda. Nirananda means misery. Like many times we are miserable. We are also experiencing Achit, ignorance. Ignorance of what our real nature is. Ignorance of the world, ignorance of spiritual world, everything. And we are also experiencing Asat. Everybody has to give up this body. Death is such a inevitable thing, but still the soul doesn't want to go through it because that's the nature of the soul to be eternal. So you cannot imagine that, okay, I'm going to give up everything and leave. Actually, one very nice point Madhav Prabhu always says, like we discuss sometimes, okay, this person passed away, that person passed away, oh, so sorry, like that. Then I say like, oh, how will their wife, like let's say devotee family, how will the wife and children live because they have served together so much, and how will they, like how can they imagine a day without them, like because so much we are used to them. Then Prabhu was telling very nicely that actually because the ability to exist is so inherent in the soul that it will continue. The existence or the eternality is so inherent part of the soul that we'll move on, we'll live the life and continue with the life. So that's how it works. So then so what happens? So whole life this soul does something. And let's say he quits the body remembering Krishna, then he attains that spiritual world and attains that same spiritual body as Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. But whereas if he doesn't remember Krishna, then fate is decided by the higher authorities according to the activities of the life. So we heard about Yamaraj, right? So all our, whatever we did, so many lives, they have account. So they will go through it and then decide what body to give next. It is said that
Mataji, the next life, you know, the body we get, that does not depend only on desire, right? It depends on the karma too. We may desire to become, you know,
exactly,
nice,
correct, yes.
Get nice body, yes. But we may not be yes. eligible to get.
So it's both what we desire and what we deserve. Both of them. So higher, it is said that if suppose somebody is in coma, it is said that at that time, they are not able to figure out what is the next destination for the soul. They are held in a suspension state, neither in this body properly nor in next body. So coma, the higher authorities are deciding what body to give for the soul. So that's why so this verse in 8.5, which is the key for this, it's like antakale cha mame va smaran mukva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasti atra samshaya. And who
asamshaya.
It's asamshaya, but it comes with an like it's a typo here. Basically, this A is a yatra asamshaya, like asamshaya. So, and whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature, of this there is no doubt. So, Krishna is saying, if at all the moment of death you remember me, you will attain my nature, there is no doubt about it. So, he, Supreme Lord himself, is saying so confidently. So, all we have to do is, we have to somehow or the other remember Krishna at the moment of death. Okay, now we have one more problem solved. We have at least some practical thing to do. So now what do we have to do to remember Krishna at the moment of death?
For every moment.
Exactly.
You never know when death is.
Yeah.
One guru has told in discussion, the God will ask you two questions. You want me or you want me too? If you want me to, if you say that, you complete all your works and then come to me. If you want me to, if you only want me, you leave all the things.
Yes,
naturally.
Yes.
Unless you completely leave all this, you cannot go him.
Yeah.
You want me to means something, you want other things also.
Yeah.
Besides your...
Exactly.
Wanting of God. Yeah. That means you complete all those works and come.
Yes.
So, uncompleted. Then you have the joyous and sorrows or whatever you feel for it, you have and then come. He puts that.
That's very nice, yeah. Yeah, basically that's also out of love actually. Right?
If you really love him, you never see other things.
Yeah.
You leave him firstly, I want you only, you only. You only means not other things.
Yes.
I want you only means I don't want any other things. So, if you be of consciousness that way, you can reach.
Yes.
That condition will come.
Yes. Actually, in 2.41, there is a very nice verse where it says, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Okay, let's see that verse. 2.41. Who is this calling? Vyavasayatmika 2.41, I don't know the page number.
108.
Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka yanantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam.
Avyavasayinam.
Yeah. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. So here it says that those who are resolute on this purpose, those who are determined, their aim is one. Goal is clear. Just Krishna, I don't want anything else. But whereas those whose intelligence is irresolute means I have so many other desires, then automatically my determination is also many branched. It's basically it's feeble. In every place it's feeble. It's not focused. Yes, diluted. So we have to have that sincere determination. Then automatically everything else, if right now we may not be able to exhibit that way, but that should be our goal. Maybe after 40 years, I should live my whole day just doing service to Krishna. And we have to, it's like a roadmap, it's like we have a plan, right? 5-year plan, even in career, and so many, we have roadmap, like, okay, I want to become a developer, then, okay, first I'm a tester now, so I will do some project here, and as this, like, so many things we plan, right, as a roadmap. So what to speak of this final journey, and final destination. So how much we can plan? We have to prepare ourselves, actually, the whole life, we have to prepare. So this photo is of... It's a devotee actually. The Lord Vishnu is coming in Garuda to rescue him. Okay. So next section, Prabhupada talks about destination of different devotees. So here, if you see, actually it's like two paragraphs condensed into this picture. So first what we will see is, so we discussed this material planets is 1/4 of the creation, right? This is all this earth is there and this one universe and there are many other universes and this is the Karana ocean we talked about. So materialists or like people who desire to enjoy this world, they remain in this realm. between these, up and down they'll be going, but they'll always remain here. But actually the jiva is of superior nature, right? Because it's jiva is the spiritual nature, right? That's what we discussed. So jiva is Sachidananda Vigraha. But and also Krishna has another energy, which is apara energy, inferior energy, material energy. It's inferior because it's not conscious. So the jiva is in the between actually. He can be influenced either by superior energy or inferior energy. So the moment of death, based on which energy is influenced by most, that's what he will attain. So, and if we look at the spiritual planets, this is also Vaikuntha planets, and there are 3/4 of the creation. And we have... So this is a Brahmachyoti here, we saw that. And Brahmavadis, who are attracted to the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord, they remain in the Brahmachyoti. So they remain as a spark in Brahmachyoti. They don't get a spiritual form. They just realize the Sat feature, eternality feature. But whereas Paramatmavadis and devotees, they attain this Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavan and have a personal form through which they can serve the Lord. So these are the different destinations and all concepts. So basically, essentially the point is, whatever state one remembers while quitting the body, that's what he will attain without fail. The next slide. So anybody has any doubts about, let's discuss this. If somebody says, let's say, okay, the moment of death, if I remember Krishna, I will attain him. So the whole life I am going to do sinful activities. So the moment of death I am going to remember Krishna, I will go to him. If somebody has that philosophy, how do we defeat him? Is it correct first of all? Do you believe it's correct?
That's not possible.
That's not possible. Then if so, how we can practically understand, like defeat that person? Let's talk about, there are like 4 or 5 reasons we could give.
Why is it not possible?
Why is it not possible to... Let's say whole life we do sinful activities or some activities which are not...
Oh, sinful activities.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
You said... I thought
simple.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, whole life, let's say if we do sinful activities and... or activities which are not God conscious, then... can I say that, oh, moment of death, I'm going to remember, I'm going to go. Go to spiritual world.
You know, I think I heard in one of the temple pravachan, one of the Prabhuji was saying, when we get sick, you know, not even dead, when we are seriously ill, at that time, it's hard to remember God. And the time of death, the pain is much more than
exactly
when we get
correct
sick.
Yes.
That's why they told, Shankaracharya has told, Yogarato va bhogarato. Sangarato va sangavihina. Yajjat brahmani ramate chattam. Nandate nandate nandate. Whatever yoga you be and thinking of, you enjoy any sangarata companies. Sangarata sangha means without company, good company. Or without company. Sangavi. Yajjat brahmani. Whenever you be continuingly, your inner soul must be thinking that. Then you will reach a Kadiri.
Yeah, that's correct. That's very good. Yeah.
Nandate. You will get it.
Yeah. So
that's that we have to practice.
Yes, we have to practice.
By practice method.
Yeah.
It's so, not an easy thing. Very easy to tell. Even though I spent so many years, I could not even read it. But only thing is, we have to. So
that's satsanga. Yes, so it is said that the pain at the moment of death is like millions of scorpions biting us at the same time. So we don't know at that moment, even like, as I said, right, after the trip, our body was so tired that like we were just like so. And also, how many of you, I don't know whether you know, yesterday was Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi. Nirjala Ekadashi means like, one day in the year, like Ekadashi, we don't drink any water, no food, until next day, it's 5 o'clock. It's almost like 24 hours. No water, no food. So one day somehow every time we do, next day morning can't even walk, it's like feel so weak and this thing, and chanting will become so much like a burden. It's like, oh, words are not coming, I just want to sleep, like so much, right? We feel like, wow, if this is like this, then moment of death, now when everything is active, we cannot really chant properly. Then moment of death will be so difficult to practice. That's one point. Okay, there are three more reasons. Why, how to defeat this philosophy that I will do everything possible, but the moment of death, I'll remember Krishna.
Simple thing that comes to my mind is, what if you die during your sleep?
Exactly.
That's how are you going to decide who to remember?
Yeah, exactly, correct. Some people die unconsciously, some people die in sleep. So how can you say, like, do that? That's the second reason. One more reason.
While practicing chanting another thing, while we are sleeping and getting up also, we will get up with the chanting. That is the thing which will help us at our ends.
That's correct.
It is not so easy. But that means whenever we be chanting inside, but even though you are, that means something, suppose you have got urgent program, even though you are here, some that urgent boss will be calling me and he will getting sleep, it will be tickling you. Like that, if you feel that sensation towards God,
yeah,
naturally.
No, but this person believes that whole life I will do anything, moment of death I am going to remember Krishna. Yeah. So we want to defeat him. Mm-hmm. So we want to defeat this proposal.
Argument by
logical argument. So that there are two reasons we got. There are a couple of more reasons. Okay. So one reason is, like whatever we are attached to, that's what we'll remember automatically. The whole life, if I practice attachment to my wife, or drinking, or so many things, automatically I'm going to remember that. What to speak about death? Let's say some scratch happens or some car gets something, right? What do we shout? Right? That doesn't come like that.
Child calls mummy.
Yeah.
Like that. If he has the habit of calling at all troubles, so he is getting his mother, whatever the troubles also, when you have try to chant that name,
right,
that will be one of the help
for us.
See, the child will get relief, mummy, when mummy comes, suppose mummy will never come, that wrong somewhere on that word. When the child is playing with the dolls and other things, mummy will never care.
Yeah.
When he throws all the dolls and mummy, what has happened to him? Then mummy will come.
Yes.
So when we cry for him,
yes.
When we cry for him, when we chant for him, when we have more ambition towards him, you see. Mm.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. I'm forgetting the other reason. Maybe it'll come up later. 8:10. Okay. So this is the general principle. Whatever state we remember at the moment of death, that's what we'll attain. So same thing, that's what this is 8.6 and 8.5 Krishna said that, but whoever remembers me at the time of death, that's what he will attain without doubt. So both are same basically, right? One is a general principle, this is a general principle where 8.6 Krishna says, whatever you remember, that's what you'll attain, right? And this is the application of that principle where Krishna says, so in this life, if you remember me, next life you'll come to me. It's like that. Then, so now how to practically do this? How to practically, at least we are theoretically convinced that whole life we have to practice remembering Krishna. Then only we'll remember Krishna at the moment of death. So how to practically do it? That's what Srila Prabhupada is going to delve us into next. So what Prabhupada is saying is, we are surrounded with this material energy and naturally we are absorbed in it. What we have to do, we have to gradually move our absorption into spiritual energy. See, if you have desire to read so many literatures like novels and magazines and newspapers and so many things, then what we have to do is, there are so many spiritual literatures also. Like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Sutra, Puranas, Vedas, everything. So we just have to change our subject matter. So gradually. It's a gradual process. Then instead cultivate reading all these books. Right? Then So that's an example of how we just have to replace it with a higher thing. Then that's why we can sustain.
Yeah.
So let's say we discuss this example, right? A child wants to eat mud. Right? Child wants to eat mud and mother wants to stop the child. So it doesn't listen. So then mother makes laddus and gives the child, and child is so happy eating laddu that it stops. Loses taste for eating mud. It's the same thing. Somehow from so many millions of lifetimes, we have had this taste of enjoying this world, even in this life. So somehow we have to get that higher taste, what it is to serve the Lord. What satisfaction do we get? What happiness do we get? Once we have that little bit, then we will like, okay, this is what I'm looking for. Let me try more. Then it gradually increase the spiritual side. Automatically, material side will reduce. You don't have to do extra endeavor. It's like if you have a cup of ink and you want to fill it with milk, white. Either you can pour all the ink and then pour milk. Or you can gradually pour in milk, then ink will go away. Or the ink will turn into milk, white color. So it's like that. So what Prabhupada told, our philosophy is not about negating. No, not this, not like that. You add Krishna. You add Krishna to your life. You add chanting to your life. You add service to Krishna to your life. Then automatically, gradually, you will become Krishna conscious. Yeah, so what, as Prabhu was saying, that Krishna gave very practical advice to Arjuna. He told about yoga process, and Arjuna said, Krishna, this yoga process is very difficult to follow. My mind is like raging wind. How am I going to control it? Then Krishna said, yeah, you are right, Arjuna. You cannot do this. It's only possible by constant practice and detachment. He told these two keys. Said it's only possible by constant practice and detachment. And also the yoga process which Krishna told Arjuna was not to give up his duties. He didn't say, okay, you stop all this, you go to the forest and you start, let's say, remembering me. Krishna said, no, while doing your duties, you remember me. That's how you practice. That's actually even more tougher. Right? Because while doing duties, we want to be so absorbed, do everything meticulously, do everything. But still, the task is somehow we should remember Krishna through that. The way it works is, if suppose we have the habit of chanting our rounds early in the morning, like before going to work, that helps us remember Krishna throughout the day. That's the key. So that's the thing Krishna tells here. Always think of me in the form of Krishna and carry out your prescribed duties. With your mind and intelligence fixed on me and your activity is dedicated to me, then you will attain me without doubt. So that's the verse Krishna says, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Ma Manusmara Yudhyacha Mai Arpita Mano Buddhi Ma Mevaishyasi Asamshaya. That will attain Krishna without doubt. So how practically, let's talk about some examples of day-to-day duties. How while doing the duties we can remember Krishna. Like in the sense of remembering Krishna means, if we can see its connection to Krishna and we use it in that way, then we are remembering Krishna automatically. It's not that I'm at work, I'm trying to write a program and I'm like trying to chant also, and like, you know, it's not like that.
For that, Sraddha is most important. Concentration.
Mm-hmm.
If you concentrate, whatever you do with much concentration. The concentration leads you to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose we are doing Krishna, we have prayed Krishna with concentration. Again, do your work. Whatever you work, that Sraddha is also God. The concentration itself is a God power. Without His power, we cannot do that work also in a perfect way.
Yes.
So think that God is assisting. The one force, unnecessary, unknown force is assisting you to do it with such a perfection. If you feel that unknown force, that is God, Sri Krishna, that force is assisting you to do that work with concentration.
Mm.
By concentration itself, it's a perfect sadhi. That's why the rishi says, Shraddha Sokta. Some they take as a God. Even Vivekananda says, doing, concentrating on God itself is a Shraddha. That means concentration. That is concentration of the anyone.
Yeah.
So that leads us to the perfection. So whatever you do, let's say daffodils, you know, one thing at a time and do that done well, that is the way to be happy and
deep. Mm.
One thing at a time and do that done well, that means that is the way to be happy and deep. Happy means you reach perfection, that's all. Mm. Happy and gay means reaching God. See, that's how we have to think. So, after completing the work, so God has helped me so nicely. So, I could do this with this help only. You feel that like, in that way. You transform this work, concentration work and succeeding this work. You could do with His help only.
Yes, yes, yes.
You have to feel that
that's
way.
Right, yeah. Basically, yeah.
That means I have done means aham. All this will come.
Yes.
And yoga will come.
Yes, yoga, yeah.
That all danger, they are dangerous. I could do because I am so much. But all these things, even officer also doesn't know anything. I have done it. That all these things will come. No, I could do with the help of His grace only.
Yes.
And He has given me such a concentration to do this work.
It's very good, yeah. So basically,
this concentration makes you successful in all lives.
Yes.
That is God.
Yes. That's very good. So basically knowing that I am not the only doer. There are so
Krishna,
Lord is
merit.
Yes.
With His guidance only I am able to do it with perfection.
Yeah. That so whenever let's say we achieve, we fix a bug or let's say we file a bug and it's
and
like let's say extraordinary thing.
Prescribed duties means
Yeah.
That prescribed duty means that suppose you are working in a company, you have to do justice for the company, otherwise the company will go lost. So all the praja, all the people are unsaid, all people are every human being, God is there. Sarvabhuta nivasosi vasudeva namostate. Sarvabhuta, in all bhuta, all existing like living beings, God is there. In the shape only of the power of God is inherited in all the people. That means all the people are to be served. When once we are serving the people, you think that you are serving the God in them. They are satisfied. When so many people you are having head of an organization, you should manage all them more satisfied and other things with their salaries and other things. That is also concentration.
Mm.
You think that God is forcing you to do them that way.
Yeah.
That way
so basically that's what, yeah, the point is Krishna.
At every instance, you should never think that I am the doer.
Yes, exactly. That's the same.
With His help
correct.
Only I could do.
Yeah.
That is the only thing.
So we should, that's what means
then only you will be successful in your life.
That's what it means to be Krishna conscious.
That's
right?
Conscious.
Yes. Krishna conscious means every minute you are conscious that you are not alone, right? Krishna is helping. Krishna is helping and with this there are five doers, right? We talked about five. I don't know whether we talked about that earlier. The five doers for every action. One is the soul, which is us, and there are various kinds of endeavor or basically the attempts we make. And the other one is the super soul. Right, other one is the place of action, the body, and other one is senses. So in 16th chapter or which chapter, Krishna says these are the five factors for any action to manifest, anything to manifest. Among these, soul is the only one part of it. So if soul takes all the credit, then it becomes egoistic, as Prabhu is saying. And also in 3rd chapter, Krishna says that, what is that verse? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. It's like one who thinks I am the doer, he is illusion. That's what Krishna is saying. But actually the real doer is the modes of material nature. The soul is just desiring. Actually if you see, right, we don't even see the soul. It's just desiring. And based on the, as Prabhu is saying, based on what we desire and what we deserve, super soul sanctions and the material nature moves. Even for a finger to lift, soul is not really doing anything actually. It's the material nature which is facilitating it. So that's one thing. Okay. So at work we discuss that like, okay, somehow we know that our abilities are coming from Krishna.
I'm
so let's move on. Yeah, we discussed that. So So we at work, we know that okay, we our abilities are coming from Krishna, and whatever we are able to do, let's say concentration, everything, it's coming because of meditating and remembering Krishna in the morning. Something like that, right? And what about our family duties? How do we connect that with Krishna? Let's say I have to cook at home or I have dinner with my husband. How do we remember Krishna while doing that? Or how do we connect that with Krishna?
I think that we are making prasadam for
yes.
Krishna.
We are making prasadam, yes. Offer it to God, yes. While cooking, if we are conscious that okay, I'm going to make it for offering to Krishna. So we try to remember and play kirtan or something. So cooking is covered. What about eating?
We thank him before we eat,
and also because this body is given as a vehicle for us to come to that final destination, so it's our duty to maintain this body. So as a service to Krishna, we are taking care of the body. So if we become too negligent of this body, that is not really Krishna conscious. Actually, very nice pastime, some disciple got sick, then Prabhupada actually chastised him and said, what is this, you are in Maya. Why you are not taking care of your body? This body is a vehicle to attain Krishna. You are misusing it. You should take care of it nicely. So that's the consciousness. Okay, Krishna, I want to attain you, but I cannot do it until I am healthy. So let me take care of properly. That also helps us avoid overeating. When you overeat, automatically we'll fall sick, and we don't get up early in the morning. All things come. So if we really desire, we can mold every activity of life to be centered around Krishna. Practically, gradually. So it's 8:24. So we can stop here. Anybody has any questions or comments or any points?
The chart you showed for the material world, the host planet was shown about the Earth planet.
Oh, this is the next.
Bhuvarlok.
Or Rakshasas and ghosts.
Rakshasas yeah. And ghosts.
That's also. Last time when we showed this, somebody asked, you were
about
the Pitraloka, right? Yeah, so we found out about that. What it says is Pitraloka, Yamaraja lives along with all his devotees. Mm. So even though it's lower, it's not really like heavenly, hellish planet. Mm. It's like really like Vaikuntha. Mm. See, for example, wherever there is temple, wherever devotees, it's not really material world, right? Mm. Because it's that's the potency is there. Similarly, Pitraloka is below, but it's Yamaraja's abode. So it's like a heavenly realm. It's not hellish planet. Mm. And this one I didn't notice. Last time I asked this to Maharaj and he explained that. Bhuvarloka, Rakshasas and ghosts, they are above this thing. Yeah, I'll find that out more probably. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so.
Madhavi, does this verse you were referring to, where do we find it about, you know, Krishna taking away stuff so that you can go closer to him?
Okay, that one. To one whom I show special mercy, I take away everything, right? Okay, yeah, I will send you the quote in next time. I don't know the Sanskrit also. It's Srimad Bhagavatam verse. I can write down and write. Yeah, very, very sweet verse. Okay, so briefly we'll end with, if we don't have any comments, I will end with a nice story. So first time you attended Prabhu, how did you, like you had any questions or comments, or was it like too, the jargon, was it too much?
No, I was actually attending the classes on Sunday.
Oh.
But then I was not able to attend that Sunday, that's been more for me.
Okay, okay.
So we were also in the introduction phase for 7-8 weeks.
Okay.
So then I thought this time works.
Oh, that's very good. Okay, so it's you feel comfortable. Okay.
Sunday also is being continued here?
No problem. He was attending a different class, so now he will be joining our class. So this pastime is about how the Lord and the devotees are eagerly waiting for us to come back. So we heard about this pastime of Gopakumar who travels to different planets. Maybe you may not have heard. So there is a very nice poster. Actually, maybe next time I'll give that poster also. Poster of Gopakumar. Gopakumar is... I also don't know the actual details there. But Sanatana Goswami gives a book about the journey of Gopakumar. Like he wants to reach God. So he goes to different people. Like first he goes to some sages. Okay, you are great people. You know how to go to God. Show me the path. And they will say, no, we are not devotees. We are not real devotees. We are real devotees, Shiva. He goes to Shiva Loka. She praises Shiva. Shiva, you did this. So many things. You are the greatest devotee. Then he said, no, I am not the greatest devotee. Hanuman is the greatest devotee. And he glorifies Hanuman. And Hanuman says, no, I am not the greatest devotee. Somebody else. Like that. Finally, they say, gopis are the topmost devotees. Then finally, Gopakumar reaches the spiritual world. So when he reaches all the events, goes through all the heavenly planets, everything, Vaikuntha planets, everything, and then finally he reaches the spiritual world. At that time, Krishna and all these devotees, they are just waiting, and immediately Krishna embraces Gopakumar, and actually he cries tears of love and Krishna faints. Then somebody would think we should faint seeing Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is saying, okay, I'm waiting for you so many lifetimes. You, after so much hard struggle, you've come here. I'm so happy to receive you, and all the devotees are ready to welcome you and take you. So that picture is there that I will send next time. So in that context, there is a story of Sri Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya is one of the Vaishnava Acharyas, and he has very exalted disciples. Among them, one of them is called Kuresh. So Kuresh, Ramanujacharya at this point is like 110 years old, and Kuresh is also a very older disciple, like it's very elderly person, and all his disciples are also very advanced. So they worship in Lord Ranganath in Srirangam. Yes, Srirangam. So once Kuresh came to worship Lord Ranganath, he came to Lord Ranganath, and then Lord Ranganath spoke to him and said, okay, Kuresh, I'm so happy with your service. Can you ask something from me? Because Lord reciprocates with his pure devotees. Then he said, no, I don't want anything. I'm satisfied with your service. That's what I need. What else I need? I don't want anything. But then Lord kept on insisting, no, you should ask me something. You ask something. Then he told, okay, you're asking me. So my body is getting very old. If you so desire, please... take me back and let me serve you in the spiritual world. Then he said, yeah, that's guaranteed that you are going to come to me, and not only you, whoever is related to you, they are going to come to me for sure. Then the news spread all over the town, everywhere. Like everybody is like, oh, whoever is attached to Kuresh is going to go. And then finally it came to Ramanujacharya, who is this? Kuresh is a disciple of Ramanujacharya. Okay. So it came to Ramanujacharya, then immediately he was lying on the bed, so he had a white cloth, he threw a white cloth up. Then he said, oh wow, my life is successful. Then disciples didn't understand, why Maharaj, how come your life is successful? He said, no, Kuresh is my disciple, and he got a promise from the Lord that whoever is attached to him, they are also going to go, so I can also have a chance. So actually Ramanujacharya doesn't need anybody's help to do it, but out of his humility he's saying that. Then finally Ramanujacharya meets Kuresh, and then he asks Kuresh, how is it that you want to go before me? Like usually elderly people, they will go and then people will continue the service and then they will come. How is it that you desire this weird desire? Then he said, no, I heard that actually the people who are already there in the spiritual world, they welcome the new person who is coming. But they are seniors. They are staying there for so long, and seniors are welcoming juniors. That's not the right protocol. So I'm a junior. I will go there. I'll prepare everything for you. I'll to welcome you there.
Very nice.
Then he said, oh, it's a very nice sentiment. Not only here, you want there also to, you want to serve your spiritual master. So it's very nice. That's what he told. It's a nice pastor. Okay, we'll 8:30. We'll end here.